A Lessons and Carols Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 26, 1999, in the series Memory and Hope, entitled Hope Embodied in the Human. The texts for the sermon are Micah 5, verses 2 through 5a, Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, and John 1, verses 1 through 14. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
We have been talking about memory and hope in these weeks, and we have celebrated now the birth of the child we have remembered, and it is the memory of Jesus that is the ground of our hope. It is the God who came to us in the flesh of Jesus. That is the heart of the Christian understanding of reality. That is the center of the revelation that God is human, that God has become human, that God has entered the human. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. The hope of the world is the memory of that which came to expression in Jesus when God became human. And now, hope is in the human. I've been trying to say that in various ways. I'll try once more. Because it sounds risky. It sounds like that's not enough. Hope in the human? Don't we generally hear in the church hope in God? Hope in the human? Don't we generally hear in church the unreliability and irresponsibility and the flawedness of the human? Hope in the human? That's the heart of Christmas? Well, I can imagine that questions rise and that you would call me to give account of such a claim. For indeed, the record that we humans have written would make it a rather risky basis on which to have hope for the world. But I'm going to hold to it and invite you to think about it with me for just a few moments this morning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God in the human. And my claim would be that in this vast cosmic process of billions of years, we have emerged on the stage of reality. We who are conscious, self-conscious, aware, and the future of the world lies with the likes of us who are thinking, willing, active creatures created in the image of God, the God who has become human. Oh, we didn't create ourselves. Don't hear me say that the human is God now and that God is no more, but hear me saying that God is in the human. And what happens in this world will be dependent upon what we do as the agents of God in the ongoing creative process. God is the infinite and inexhaustible ground of all being. We are not. And if we blow ourselves up and blow our world up, Life will begin again with a bacteria here or a mold there. But if this drama is to unfold in peaceful ways, if this is to become a more humane world, then it's in our hands. I've been quite blunt in the Advent season, announcing that Jesus is not coming again. And let me say now on Christmas Sunday that God is not going to intervene here and there to fix things up. You expect God to act? I would say God has acted. God has become human. God is mirrored in the humanity of Jesus. I think this is what John was trying to say. The intention of God in the beginning took on flesh in Jesus Christ. And in the 14th chapter of that gospel, the claim is made, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And a little farther along in that chapter, if you have seen me, you have seen God. And in the letter of John, if you love one another and abide in love, God abides in you. Hope is in the human because God is in the human. The ball is in our court. In the misty origins of humans coming to be, in the dawning of consciousness, there was a fearful awe before the mystery of existence. And therein lies the origins of religion. And no matter where you go in the survey of the religions that have covered the earth over the eons of time, you'll find that humankind has wanted a king. A king to protect, to provide, to preserve. A king to secure and make certain. In the womb of our own Christian religion, Israel had a king on a throne who was represented in religion, Israel. Had a king on a throne who was representative of the king in heaven. And then amazingly enough, the king became human. God took on flesh. The king became one of us. And in the vulnerability of a child, revealed the heart of deity. They all were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry. Now follow me. Follow me. What did we do with the vulnerable God in human flesh? What did we do with him? Did we follow him as he became the agent of transformation in the name of the oppressed, taking on the powers of this world? No, we didn't. What did we do with him, this vulnerable child? Did we not exalt him king all over again? Did we not exalt him to high heaven and worship him as God? For we couldn't live in our fearful humanity without an all-powerful deity living somewhere above the heavens, able to intervene and fix things, and finally to come and create heaven on earth. And so, didn't we miss the point of Christmas? which was God and the human? Wasn't God saying in the birth of a child, it is only in vulnerability and humanity that the hope of the world lies? And isn't it time after 2,000 years that we took that seriously? That we did believe indeed that the Word became flesh and that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that to see Him, or to see Him as we see Him in the face of the other, is to see God. And to continue that which He began, which was to challenge the powers that be. In the name of humanity. We've made of Him again a king, hoping He will come again and create a new heaven and a new earth. When He waits for us, we cry out, how long, O God, how long? And God says, that's my question. How long, O people, how long will you fail to realize that I have put it in your hands, and only to the extent that you seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with me, will the kingdom of heaven become a reality on earth. The other day I caught a little piece of the Today Show, and there was an interview with Billy Graham. He is such a fine human being, such a highly respected, richly deserved respect of the world, and I admire him greatly. Dear Billy, he simply set forth the same old, tired myth. It was the time of the Columbine tapes that had come out, and Katie Couric was asking him about how evil can possess two young people, as the story went, and he said, well, it's obviously Satan and the demons, but there's coming a time when Jesus will come and there will be 1,000 years of peace on earth. She said, right now at the turn of the millennium, and Billy knows enough not to be one of those projectors of dates and scenarios, but he reflected that traditional Christian understanding that it will be God finally, coming in Jesus finally, that will fix it. And that also tends to lift up the evil and the darkness of the world. God knows there's enough of that. But there are other signs. Maybe Israel and Syria will find a way to peace. Maybe Israel and the Palestinians will come finally to recognize that their possible future lies in coexistence. Maybe there will be the settling of ancient feuds in Northern Ireland. Maybe in the Balkans there will be enough coming together to recognize the need for reconciliation. Maybe in this old world of ours, there will be a day when gay and lesbian people will simply be part of God's diverse creation, no longer legislated against and discriminated against. Maybe one of these days, with all of the intertwining of the planetary family, we'll recognize that in our respective paths, We are seeking God beyond all of our tribal deities. I am hopeful. Frankly, I am hopeful. I am hopeful when I look into the face of young people, bright, eager, intelligent, so far ahead of where I was when I was their age. I'm hopeful when I realize how a congregation like you responds with generosity to causes and concerns and persons. You see, the old story that Billy Graham, bless his heart, was repeating again is a story that comes out of the biblical story of a marginalized people who had lost all hope and possibility, who were crying out for the king to come with vengeance and justice. And that old story, that old scheme, that old myth, it just didn't happen according to expectation. And now here we are, you see, it's not easy. We are the rich and the powerful, and we're trying to live into that myth. That's not easy to do. We who are at the top of our game, trying to follow one who was leading the underbelly of society. But I'm hopeful, because I do believe here and there, there is a consciousness penetrating world humanity with the absolute necessity of the causes of justice and fairness, which alone can lead to peace. It is not enough for us to wash our hands and say, "Oh God, come quickly." It is not enough for us to pretend that we can follow in the way of that peasant prophet with his tattered gown. It is for us who have power and affluence to look into the face of Jesus and to see, yes, that's the way. That's the truth. That's the life. And we can't change the whole world, but where we are, here and there, now and again, we can make it happen. And I do believe, deeply in our hearts, that's what we want. And that's that to which we'll commit ourselves. And that's the fire we have to build in the hearts of young people, so bright, so full of potential. And teach our children from the time they learn to breathe that it is in love, in justice, and compassion, that the future of the world lies. And the hope is in the human. By God.